across the board.
For me,
I won't say across the board.
And I think we need to get back to the
stage. Amongst friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, and welcome to another show, Amongst Friends. Tonight, we're going to be talking about rejection. That's going to include how do you deal with it, what are some of your experiences with rejection, and, you know, just coping with rejection and what have you. Tonight you can call in to join us at 760-683-2662. We'd really like to hear from you tonight, so call in. Tonight, we're going to have a full cast tonight. Everybody is back. Everybody is well. So it's going to be crunk tonight. How about that? So we're going to have Heather and Joey and PJ. And, of course, we got Jeff rolling up in his camp as well.
Word.
Let me just tell you how we came up with the topic tonight of rejection. I was talking to someone, and I'm hoping that they're listening right now. I was talking to someone last week when because they were listening to the show, and of course they we were just talking about relationships and what have you, and one of the expectations of this person was that they were in a new relationship, and they were expecting the other party to do specific things. And if they did not do those specific things, then they didn't want to be in the relationship. And so they didn't care what and hopefully they'll call in and tell me that I was wrong, but they didn't care, you know, what the reasoning behind why the person was doing X, Y, Z, or why they didn't do X, Y, Z, but they were just done with it. But what was said was the reason why I just can't deal with it is because I don't like rejection. And I was like, you know what, that is going to be an excellent topic that we need to deal with, because people flip out. They build walls. They spaz out. They do all kinds of stuff when they feel like they're being rejected. I mean, and it even plays into, Joey, I see, to, you know, our conversation about self-esteem. Because if I'm rejected, then I may feel like I don't look right, I don't talk right, I don't whatever right, because somebody else didn't like whatever I was putting on the table. So that's how we came about with rejection. Why don't y'all give me some of y'all experiences with rejection and how it made you feel, and whether or not it really affected how you handled a situation with someone else.
Well, actually, rejection is one of the things that I definitely had an issue with, especially in my, like, teen years, just, you know, more so being able to... being able to accept that, you know, people are going to reject you for different reasons, and really trying to find a place of not letting that rejection, you know, keep you down or put you in a place where, like you said, you put up walls or you you know, you try to avoid rejection altogether because it then makes you, you know, to me, or what it did for me, it made me more sort of socially awkward, kind of, because, you know, it was just always trying to tiptoe around people and get people, you know, try to avoid people from noticing you just so you can't get, so you can't be rejected. You don't make friends, you isolate, that type of thing, all to avoid whatever rejection you are, you're trying to avoid. So for me, it was a place of, as far as dating, like that's where the majority of my rejection came, and not in the sense that I couldn't get women or I couldn't be in relationships, but it was maintaining them or staying in them where I felt like I was rejected, and for that, I, you know, would just try to avoid relationships altogether. Whereas, you know, for other people, rejection might come in, people not, you know, liking them for a certain reason, being rejected from jobs. That's a hard thing for a lot of people to depend on, being rejected because, you know, something is easier just being rejected from like a contest or something. People really hold on to that, and they take hold of that rejection, or they take it into themselves, and they kind of make it a part of who they are, rather than just like someone said, rejection can be a motivator. It can be a teacher even. Or it can just be what it is. It's rejection. It's not the end of the world. And I think a lot of people kind of miss that. So that's just my little synopsis.
PJ is in the chat room. PJ, I'd like you to kind of tell the callers what you're saying. I think that's really good.
Well, what I'm saying is that rejection is a teacher. I think in everything that's uncomfortable, you get a lesson and you get pain to help you remember the lesson. A lot of times, the way our culture is that we only remember the pain and not the lesson. So.
Okay, wait. So you say rejection is a lesson. Okay, so if dude come at me and he like, yo, you just fat as hell and you ugly. Excuse me, what's my lesson? Because I just missed it.
But he didn't reject you. He's being disrespectful. That's not rejection. Rejection is when you advance and it's not received.
Exactly.
Well, I'm saying, you know, like, say you meet a dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say you're in the club or whatever, and you're at the bar, or you're even at, I'll take that back because I don't do the club and I don't want anybody to think that that's where they're going to find me. But say I'm at a lounge or something and I'm chilling out, I'm networking or doing whatever. Brother walks up, he's talking, whatever. Everybody's talking. He offers me a drink or something like that. And I just say, yo, no, I'm good. And it gets, as you just say, it gets disrespectful. So it's like he's rejecting me because I turned him down. So what's my lesson?
But he's not rejecting you.
That's not a rejection. He's not rejecting.
Rejection
you.
Is if he's in the club and you go over to him and say, hey, how are you? I think you're nice looking. Can we exchange numbers? And he says, no, you're fat, ugly, whatever. Your lesson is don't talk to dumbasses in the club.
How do you spot them?
Sorry.
How you spot
that's
them?
Last... Huh?
I said, how you spot them?
Because you was in the club, number one.
Okay. Get me right. Go ahead, PJ. I'm sorry. You were talking.
Oh, well, if that happens, then you have learned. The lesson you learned is that particular dude thinks that you're fat and ugly. So the next time you see him, you won't make an advancement toward him. But looking a little deeper than that, usually when there's a rejection, there's been an advance, and there's been an advance with an expectation that the advance is going to be accepted. So when the advance is not accepted, there's always something to learn. You might not want to learn a lesson, but I always think that there's something to be learned. You might be fat and ugly, so you might need to lose some weight, get your teeth fixed, comb your hair. So that may be the lesson. But I always think that there's something to learn in rejection. I don't want to get too far ahead, but I think a lot of times when we get rejected, we turn totally away from everything that seems like it rejects us. And rejection is not, I don't think that is why rejection is in our life. I don't think that's a teaching tool of rejection. I think that rejection is a teacher. There are old, and I'll use your example. There are old men that go to the club. And I'm not a clubber, but when I was at the club, there were old men that were at the club. And they would be there every weekend. And they would get rejected from about maybe 50 to 60 girls. But what I learned from the old man at the club is there's always one girl at the end of the night, if she strike out, that's going to go home with the old man at the club, which is why the old man is still at the club. So the old man does not take rejection personally. He learns from it. You know, the girl might say, that's an old line. So he might talk to somebody and find out what the new line is. So I always think that there's something to be learned from rejection. To me, the lesson is always the way that you did something for that particular way, for that particular instance, did not work. Doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It might not work with that person. It might not work with that instance. It might not work with the way you did it. And we have to evolve so that we can make adjustments to get the things that we want and need.
And Just to add on what he's saying, a lot of people who do get rejected, that is like a built-in reality check to let you know that if you thought you was the ish, you're really not the ish to everybody you
approach.
Whatever.
You can save that. You can save that.
I'm going to say for real.
Right. Plain and simple, that's how it feels.
Okay.
But for me, not all the time, but sometimes rejection is a motivator. Sometimes if somebody, especially, you know, if I'm doing something, especially in my field, and somebody says, well, I don't like that, well, I don't think that that's really that good, you know, it may not feel good for somebody to say they don't like what I'm doing, but it's definitely a motivator for me to say in my head, well, I'm capable of doing something that's absolutely wonderful. So
right.
That's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to work harder at what I do until, you know, you accept it or you receive what it is that I do. And that's just me personally. It's a motivator for me sometimes.
How about you, Heather? How does it go down for you? How have you handled rejection?
For somebody who's never been rejected, it's like, no. I think one of the things that I've learned not to do is not to internalize it. It sounded kind of off-kilter when I first heard it, but I remember one day... One of my brothers telling me that when, you know, rejection does not mean there's something wrong with you. It simply means that's not what that person wants or needs. And it's just like, you know, I guess when you're in the grocery store and you're offered this, that, or the other, and you pick this, you know, or you say, no, I don't want any of that. Somebody's trying to sell you something. No, I don't want... It's not saying something is wrong with that product or something is wrong with what they're trying to offer you. It's saying that's not what you want or what you need. And so I think for me, I've learned that rejection is okay. depending on the situation, like CJ said, it is something to learn from. You know, if I'm rejected in a certain situation, I mean, I've never, you know, I've always told people when they go on a job interview and if they don't get the job, it's nice to send a thank you letter. And sometimes, depending on how the conversation could go or if you know someone, tell me what, you know what I mean, the HR person that you kind of communicate with, what did I do wrong? What did I say differently? What could I have done better in my interview? Was I not able to articulate, you know, my skill set? So I kind of look at it now as an opportunity to garner information, learn something more about me, and how I can, you know, deal with it. But I'm, like Joey said, early in life, I know that I internalized it. You know, began to do this self-discovery of what's wrong with me, what's going on inside of me, and then observing things that I never found as wrong and saying, well, maybe that's something that's wrong, or maybe this needs to look this way or be that way, you know, for other people's sake. And that wasn't necessarily me or my personal desire or my personality. And so, you know, I think the big, big picture for me is that I don't internalize it. You know, I let people choose. Being a large woman, I know that ain't what every man want, but I don't necessarily like every light-skinned guy or every bald-head guy, so that's not my thing. And so just like somebody wouldn't find me attractive, there are people that I don't find attractive. So I don't take it personally. I don't take it as an indictment on who I am or what I am. I take it as, you know, you like vanilla ice cream, and that person likes chocolate.
Well, that's good. Okay, well, let me ask you guys, since my caller isn't calling in, there are people out there who are not handling rejection as well as y'all are saying that y'all handle it. So how do you okay, it's as if you're using the rejection as a barrier not to be hurt. How much is it that I'm using rejection as a wall, or okay, let me give you an example, because I'm hearing something in my head, but it's not coming out right. Okay, so the situation is you're in a new relationship, and let's just say that the guy isn't calling you every day. Now, he may be working and doing his passion, but he's not calling you every day. Now, he may text you throughout the day, but he ain't calling you every day. And that, for whatever reason, that's not enough for you. How much of that is, and it's not enough for you, so you don't want to be with them. You don't want to take the time to invest. How much of that is, I don't want to be rejected, so I'm going to cut it off now, or how much of is it that little voice inside of you that's saying, you know what, here's a red flag, or my conscience is saying, you know, this person is not going to be the person for me. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
It depends on who it is.
Well, not only that, but I also think that you can't take someone else's you can't determine when it's not enough for you, then you have to make a decision what you're going to do about that for you. And that's a mistake. You know, I think trying to reach out and control someone else, control their behavior, control their decision-making, that's the wrong thing to do. And to manipulate them by saying, you know, well, I feel like this, and you should be doing this, and this is what I, you know, that's too much. You're doing too much. And maybe you should get with someone who is able to meet your need. But I don't see it as someone rejecting you. And I don't think that you get there where you don't internalize it, where it doesn't hurt you overnight. I didn't just wake up and start feeling that way. And it's a evolving process. There are times when I'm faced with things that are rejection to me, and I have to step back, regroup, look at it, and get back to the focus of this isn't personal.
Like what, Heather?
Recently, I am.
Okay. And the reason why I'm asking you to give me examples, because y'all, we're talking about this and we're making it sound like this is easy. All you got to do is shift your mind and don't take it personal.
No.
And we're going to wrap it up with a bow and it's
done.
No, I'm not saying that's what you said, but that's what it sounds like. Like, ain't nobody struggling with rejection. I ain't never had that problem per se. And yeah, y'all really need to get it together. So there are people. So let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, do you want it from a professional or personal standpoint? I mean,
I want it however you want to give. Give me professional and personal.
Okay. From a professional standpoint, for me recently, I'm at lunch one day, and I get a phone call. You know, the president wants to see you. Okay, well, I work with the president, so that's no big thing. I'm thinking, okay, whatever. Go in his office, and a five-minute conversation was basically, we're turning your position into a vice president's position, and you're not qualified. Well, how do you know I'm not qualified? I've been doing the work, da-da-da-da. And for me, it was much... It felt a lot like rejection, not just rejection of me, but rejection of my professional standard, of my skill sets, not an opportunity to even apply, not an opportunity to say, well, this person is going to be hired at a VP level, which will take some of your duties, but you can keep the administrative piece and work up under that person. None of that. Straight, it's over, it's done, you're gone. It was very much rejection. And then for the job description to come out and literally be my job description. I'm rejected. I don't get to advance. I don't get to be a VP. And besides thinking about what will I do for a job, how will I, you know, take care of my finances, my family, my responsibilities, live life, remain comfortable, then I begin thinking about, here I am rejected, but then I have to sit in the face of other people in interviews and possibly feel this same feeling of rejection over and over and over again. Because there's no guarantee that you're going to get hired for a job just because you go for an interview.
Right.
And so I had to step back from that situation and say, this isn't about me, and I could not do it in a way that said something was wrong with the person or the other person or they're mean and nasty for taking my job or this or that. No, I had to step back and say, there is a lesson. There is absolutely a lesson. And the lesson for me in that was, I can do my job. I've been doing it. But was I completely happy? Was I able to excel where I was? Was there an opportunity for advancement? No. And was I getting tired and stressed out from that job? Absolutely. Absolutely. For someone who has always had hair down their back, TJ will tell you as a child, my father didn't believe in cutting your hair. So we always had long hair, good hair, not straight, pretty, what people think. I'm talking about good, just thick, general, good black people hair. At 33, I shouldn't wake up one morning and just have a bald spot in my head. That was from the job. Every doctor, every dermatologist was like, you're stressed.
Wow.
Tired, flying here and there, doing this and that. And so, in a way, it was a blessing for me. It was a thank you moment for me to say to him, you know what, thank you, you just pushed me. Because I could have sat there like many people I know and been there 10, 15 years and have and just take it. Because, well, I've been here this long, I'm just going to put up with it. Or maybe I got too comfortable there. It was time to move on. 5 years was long enough. They're not changing. They like the way they're doing things. Move on. And so, I mean, it was rejection. It hurt. I wanted somebody to blame. But I had to realize, don't look in the mirror and see something wrong with you. Look ahead and see the opportunity in this. Find it. And I'm telling you, he told me that one day, and I still had about 45 more days to work and a major meeting coming up. And it wasn't until after I left that many people were like, you stayed and did that meeting? I mean, nobody knew the way you act, your attitude. I mean, you never changed. And that for me meant more than anything, that you can exercise self-control, you can control your mouth, you can fix your face and your attitude, and remain professional. And it was a seamless, I mean, it was a seamless transition. And I think in doing that, the reward for me was I left one job and went to another one.
That's what's up, Kevin. Because I don't know if I would have handled it like that.
Well, yeah. And I don't think that the expectation was that I was going to handle it like that. I think for many days, you know, people looked and said, you know, I was the one they thought would have been in there flicking off, going postal, you know, making smart, snide comments. But I didn't have the desire to do that because, you know, I've been being ministered to a church. I know how I've been raised, and I know what my personal standard is. And, you know, you have to tap into that. You have to. So it's not like it's an overnight thing or it just happens or it's just easy because it hurt. Did a tear come to my eye? Yes. Because you wake up that morning, you know, doing your same regime. And what's funny about it, you want to really hear something churchy and funny? Like, this happened on, like, a Wednesday or a Thursday. The Sunday before that, we're in church, and the pastor's preaching, and he's talking about, you know, bouncing back and having resilience and having strength and being strong. And at one point, he says, you know, if you walk into work Monday morning and they tell you you don't have no more job, you ought to, you know, you'll stumble, you'll weave, you'll wobble, but you should get right back up and 'cause God got you. And before I knew it, I was up out of my seat like, yes, say it, Reverend, only to be the one that he was talking about 3 days later.
Right.
Like, God, really?
Well,
and so I mean, was just like,
go ahead.
No.
What is it or what advice do you give to someone who doesn't have that support system, who's not necessarily in the church, and, you know, I'm not sure how long you've been working, you were working with that company, but let's just say I am one of those people that, you know, as long as I come to work every day, and I've been here for 10 years, or I've been here for 5 years, and I come to work, and they give me a line like they gave you, but I don't have anybody telling me, you know, this is a learning point. What do you say to that person? Because there's somebody out there tonight that's listening, and they just got told something. They were just rejected. So what do you tell them? Because they don't have no support system.
I mean, I think that it doesn't always take a support system. They need to accept what's been given to them. Accept it. Don't push back, don't resist it or reject it, accept it. Now that it is what it is, what's the plan for moving forward? Because how do you get your, you know, how do you put things in the proper place? Of course, I absolutely have a support system and I have family, but immediately my first mind was, where do I cut back personally? Because say I don't get another job, or say that, you know, there was a severance package offered and I have a savings and I have money in the bank and, yeah, there's credit cards, but how am I going to reduce so that I can make it? What's my plan? And immediately, outside of all of the support and my own personal faith and belief, I knew that unemployment was a possibility. That we're in a tough economy. Jobs are short. And people like me with advanced degrees beyond a bachelor's are competing for some jobs that only require a high school diploma because the market is tight. And so I think you have to accept what's there, take that in, you know, let it process because, you know, I had one of my mentors say to me, look, let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about it today. Because I wanted to vent and let my feelings out. And he was just like, you know, let's wait till Monday. Let's give this to over the weekend because you need to process it. You need to, you know, internal, you know, take this in and wrap your mind around it. And so you need to take the time to do that. Get over the shock. You know, it's fair to be hurt, to be disappointed, to cry, to have some anxiety about the next steps, to feel the pressure of not having that level of security by whatever you've been told being taken from you. Because it does feel like if it's about a job, if it's about a relationship, be it friendship, familial, platonic, whatever, it feels like your foundation has been shook. And so you have to, you know, find your stable place, take it in, have some heartache over it, cry it out. But then what's the next step? What's next? And I think too many times we get stuck in the place of crying it out, anxiety, panic, and then to hopelessness when we really don't have to. Because it's just not that bad. And I realize people say, well, you know, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose my car, then I can't. But okay.
But okay.
Because at the end of the day, if you don't have a job and you lose your house or your car and there's nothing you can do about it, what can you do about it?
I'm going to cry. I'm going to curl up in a ball and ask the Lord why.
That's fine. But once he answers you with why are you going to keep asking him why?
Because I want my house.
No.
I want my job.
Would you let your child keep asking you why? Once you've answered them, would you let them keep asking you why?
Maybe if they asked me a different way.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I mean, I've answered. And I'm not saying that it's easy or that it's just going to happen like that or that it feels good. Because it doesn't feel good. It's not easy. It takes work. And I'm not saying don't have any pain or, you know, uncomfortableness about it or feel out of pocket. But you don't need to be just all engines red, panicking, and why are people in the chat room asking personal questions?
Asking church questions.
Personal.
Oh. I'm missing a which chat room are you in?
Well, maybe they sent this to me on Facebook. Are you the rejector or the rejectee? Like, I'm talking about work. I'm not even talking about.
Well, maybe, I mean, Heather, you did say which one do you want? Do you want personal or do you want professional? Maybe they're ready for you to go to the personal.
such foolishness. Such foolishness. No, I mean, I guess personally. Go ahead.
DJ, it's not that you get over all rejection. Sometimes you have mechanisms. And
you have
if
what?
You have not, you have mechanisms to
okay,
help you with rejection.
Okay. But what kind of mechanism?
Okay. One of the mechanisms that I have is that I don't automatically off of hello open myself up to a person.
Okay.
I'm more inclined to sit back and listen, or if I'm with people that I trust, don't get me wrong, I'll be social, but to just open all the way up and invite somebody to my house and things like that. I've had experiences that tell me, hey, buddy, that's not a good thing to do. Everybody doesn't like you for you. So, you know, my wife always tells me, well, you don't have a middle. You're either a little standoffish or you all the way love somebody. And if somebody who is not close to you sees you with somebody close to you, they can feel alienated. So, and I tell her, well, that's my way. That's my filter. And that's one of the walls that I have, you know, to deal with. Well, for me, I call it, I don't necessarily call it rejection. I call it being used. A lot of people don't know me really personally. I'm a big-hearted person. And because I'm a big-hearted person, sometimes people take advantage of that. So I would like to see who a person is before I open my home or my heart or my or anything to anybody. And I said all of that to say that, you know, it's not that all of, well, not me. You know, I don't have any, I'm not over every rejection that I've ever had in my life. There's some things where you learn, hey, you be careful. You know, everybody's not out for your good. Everybody that says they're for your good. Everybody that says they're saved is not for your good. Everybody that, you know, is nice to you that wants something and is hiding their ulterior motives is not necessarily good for you. So for me, I have filters. So it's not a thing that we don't, or, you know, we just say get over it. But at some point, if you get rejected enough, you should change your behavior. And every rejection is not necessarily about the other person. Sometimes certain rejections are about you. And you just have to grow and learn to be able to have the discernment to tell, okay, well, this may be something that I may need to change. Or this may be something that is just, you know, that person. You know, I'll give you an example. A lot of people don't, you know, a lot of girls don't like dark-skinned men. They like light-skinned.
I love you, PJ.
Oh, you know what? I realized that. When I got in college, things got different. All through high school, you know, I wasn't light-skinned. I didn't look like Elder Barge. So, you know, dating game was kind of funny. You get in college, you know, you meet other people from other parts of the United States. They love black guys. You know, a black guy with dreads, you know, he had a free pass. But just that rejection right there taught me that, hey, there may be a certain group of people that does not like certain things about you. It does not mean that you're not a beautiful person. It does not mean that you are not a great person. It doesn't mean that, you know, my dark skin is horrible. A lot of times people reject what they don't understand. And we have to be able to discern, okay, is this person ignorant, so they're just rejecting me? Is this person not understand me, so they're rejecting me? And a lot of times people don't know how to handle you, and if they can't handle you, then they reject you. So I think that anybody who's listening that deals with rejection, I think those are the kind of questions that they have to ask. Because a lot of rejection comes from what people don't know. So is that person ignorant, or do I need to make a change within myself? Or is there something that I can improve? Now, if somebody say they don't like somebody dark, ain't nothing I can do about that. You know, but if they say, well, you know, I don't like him, his breath stink, there's something I can do about that.
Right.
Right. So I think that as we, you know, as we grow, as we mature, as we get older, we need to learn how to manage rejection. I think that, you know, everything has an emotional box where it's supposed to be. And I think some things we put in the wrong box and we let them grow. Because that's like, you know, I have a dark skin. White people don't understand that. Well, I didn't think you married somebody dark skin. Hey, stupid. I like me. And when I look over at me, when I look over at my wife, I want to see a reflection of me. Now, you know, I venture to say, and I might get in trouble for this, some people hate
this. Because they want somebody light?
Well, not because they want somebody light, but what they think is beautiful don't look like them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who do hate themselves. So when they look across at their mate or their, you know, their destiny, they don't want it to look like them because they don't like them. I like me. So when I look across the bed, I look across the table, I look in the other car in the garage, I want to see something that looked like me. Even though when I was younger, I was rejected for being dark-skinned.
Flava is getting chased by the police.
Yeah, you know they're pulling you over right now.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, just so that we're clear. Well, first of all, I know we have callers out there tonight. I know we have listeners out there tonight. And I know you have something to say. So please give us a call at 760-683-2662. And when you call in, if you have something to say, go ahead and press 1 so that we can get you on the line. Again, as we said last week, if you don't want to disclose who it is that you are, you can call in as a anonymous caller. Now, PJ, just so we're clear, you're not saying that the people don't like themselves because they may marry someone of a different shade of black than they are.
Not all, some.
Some.
Yeah, no, that's true. Some do.
Some do. I know a lot of light-skinned people that don't really like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to marry somebody dark-skinned because they think dark-skinned is beautiful. And then,
because it is.
And then you have dark-skinned people that don't like the way they look. So they marry somebody light-skinned because they think light-skinned is beautiful and that's what they wanted to be all their life. And a lot of times
they don't
want
their children.
You don't want no
children.
Black baby.
You don't
want
no
what? Children to.
You don't want no black babies.
They don't want their children to endure.
Right. I don't want my children to be tipped.
You don't want your children to be what?
Teased.
You don't want your children to be teased for being dark.
Right.
Okay, but your child can be teased about anything.
Beg your pardon?
I said kids can be teased about anything.
Right.
Short
it's
hair.
Not the kids. It's not the kids, Deidre. It's the parents and their thinking because they don't want their children to endure what they have endured or what they've internalized because they don't like themselves. They want their children to, in a sense, be better, to get better. So they won't date someone or marry someone or have children with someone who is their complexion or darker. They'll date up.
Everybody's heard, oh, you got so dark over the summer. And it never sounds congratulatory.
Year.
It never sounds congratulatory.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we're not saying all.
I'm not saying all, but there are some. While you have a lot of white people who, if you don't get a tan by the end of the summer, they looking at you crazy. Oh, you didn't tan well. Oh, look, she's such a golden bronze color. You know, and then on this side, you hear people say, oh, you got so dark, you was down the country.
Yeah, that's what they
say. They do say that. They do.
That's foolishness.
Interesting.
Gotta love the skin that you're in.
Exactly. Mm. And if you don't love the skin that you're in, you're going to do some strange things.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't let rejection push you into, you know, what PJ is saying, doing strange things or being in a state of desperation. You can't get there. You know, rejection does not leave you hopeless or desperate.
Well, it shouldn't leave you.
It shouldn't, right. But it
does,
definitely,
but it
I
shouldn't.
Think, it's an opportunity, like PJ said, for you to learn something. And another thing, you know, off of what PJ was saying is that you also need to look at you. It's just like when you turn in a paper in school and it's rejected with the E or the teacher says, I'm not going to accept that. You have to look back at the work you did and say, did I do my best? You know, did I go through everything? Did I study on the test? You know, there are certain things with rejection that we get based on, and there's something that we can correct, self-correct. It's something we can change about us.
But I,
you know, I know for me. Go ahead, Joey.
Oh no, go ahead, finish.
Well, no, I was just gonna say, like, I know for me, everybody can't take Heather. You know, and I can't take everybody. So if a person chooses not to be a friend, that's fine. Not to be an associate, that's fine. Because I understand everybody don't want to hear my mouth. Everybody doesn't want to feel like, you know, you're nice or you're not. I mean, they may think I'm not nice. And so I have to take that and say sometimes it's cool. We're not friends. We don't get along, whatever. Other times, what could I have done differently? Am I being overbearing? Am I being aggressive? And that's not downplaying me or knocking me. It's like make the adjustment. Go ahead, Joey.
I was just going to say we touched on a lot of different things concerning rejection. And the biggest thing for me when, you know, when you were talking, when PJ and Heather were talking about something you learned, the biggest thing for me and for those who are listening is learning that everyone finds themselves not only being rejected for whatever the reason is, but also find them in a place where they are doing the rejecting. And that was something that helped me deal with rejection a lot better than what I used to, because I realized that even I play a part in rejecting someone. You know, I make decisions in rejection, and what the word?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's a robot. but we find ourselves in a place doing the rejecting, and we also are rejected. And that helped me put things in perspective, because the way I learned about not internalizing or letting rejection make me hopeless was through one of my biggest defense mechanisms or things to protect me is denial. I can deny that something happened in my head and just completely ignore a situation to my benefit. I do that really well. And it's not always a good thing, but as far as rejection, I would just, you know, really try my best to be like, oh, I didn't get rejected, or that didn't just happen. And in that place of denial, you know, it would just be covering up, like, some of the pain or some of the hurt that I experienced through the rejection, and it would just really set me back further rather than really be protecting me. And so I really had to come to a point where I did the evaluation and I looked for the lesson or what have you, or I just accepted the, you know, accepted that it hurt and moved forward. It's not an easy thing to do, but sometimes you do have to find yourself saying, you know what, this happened. It hurt. What can, you know, I can't, maybe there might not even be anything you can do to ever change the person from rejecting you. Maybe you'll no matter if you write the paper better or you bleach your skin, you know, some on the extreme side of the spectrum, or you whiten your teeth or get treated for halitosis, maybe the person will find something else to reject you for. So it might not even be anything that you have to do to get that person to accept you. But what you can do is learn how to get better at accepting rejection for what it is, and it's a part of life. And accepting that it happens across all boards, all dimensions, all spectrums, and saying, okay, it's not so much how, it's not about the person doing the rejection, so to speak, but it's more, it's a lot more on how I deal with it, how I handle it. And that's how, you know, I was able to come to a place to be like, you know what, there's just some, like PJ saying, some women just don't like dark-skinned men. Some women don't like big men. Some women don't like skinny men. Some women don't. It's just, there's always going to be something somebody don't that someone out there doesn't like. And the same for you. You might reject, you know, some people off of what you know, off the things that you don't like and things like that. And so coming to a place where you accept, maybe not ever not be hurt by rejection anymore, because I don't think, personally, I don't think it's possible, but just accepting it a lot better and choosing, making wiser decisions, like Heather's saying, not going to a place of complete hopelessness, but going to a place where you just feel like, you know, it hurt, but, or it bothered me, what have you, but this is what I can do to move forward.
And then sometimes rejection is about control and controlling others. My mother used to always tell me like this: you can't make people choose you. People have their preferences. And sometimes a rejection is not, you know, a bad mark on you. It's just that somebody prefers something else. My mother said, you can't make people choose you. People do what they want to do. And stop trying to control people and make them like you and make them do all this. That ain't going to happen.
Well, I mean, I think you can't do it, but I think one of the things I wanted to say about what you were saying, Joey, was, you know, I think when you talked about people trying to change things and do this or do that for someone else, you know, sometimes you just need to accept it where it is and not try to figure out, well, what's wrong with me? Well, what if I change this? What if, you know, I do that? I know I used to be very, very much, my girlfriend Nikki gets mad at me now. Oh, I forgot. I am not supposed to say her name on the air, but y'all already know. Gets so upset with me because I used to be the kind of person that once somebody had done something to me or something had happened in a relationship or something, I would just be like cold. Cut them off. Don't talk to them. I'm done. You know, not sure whether or not forgiveness played a role in it. I would just be done. And I'll never forget, I was in a relationship for a long time, and it was like no matter what happened in this relationship, I would, you know, try to make it right, try to understand, want to figure out, you know, what I could do different, how I could do this. And I wasn't seeing the rejection as beneficial for me. And it wasn't blatant rejection like, I don't want you. It was because he wasn't going to leave me alone. But sit there and abuse me, the situation, oh, he probably would still be doing it today. Because I was all about trying to make it right, and I needed to see for me that you're rejecting me when you disrespect me, when you're rejecting relationship. You're rejecting a connection here. And so sometimes we don't need to try to figure out what's wrong and the why. We need to just accept it and let it be. Because no matter what you think you need to change, that's someone else's judgment call. If I look at you and say, oh, you need to get your teeth whitened, well, you clearly didn't feel that way because you haven't gone and gotten them whitened. Or there's a financial burden and you can't. But it's not my place to say, oh, I'm not going to talk to you because I don't think your teeth are white enough. Okay, then I'm not going to talk to you. So you have to move on and talk to somebody else. And I think, you know, it sounds simple, it sounds plain, but that's... Why are people texting and they're not calling in on the show?
Maybe they don't know the number to call in. So
give them the number,
call in to 760-683-2662. Call in.
And press 1. You know what I just got a text was, who was that? Which voice was that? You know,
ask
all of us.
Tell that person to ask all of us so we can all talk about it.
No, y'all, we will not have a Heather show tonight. No, but I think you shouldn't automatically just feel like you need to change something because you've been rejected unless it is critical to advancement, or unless it's beneficial. You know, if someone who may have some wisdom in an area or have some knowledge comes to you and says, you know, Joey, we appreciate what you're doing, but we can't accept your writing because it was a little bit it created a little controversy amongst the two groups, so we can't use what you wrote. It's disappointing that we're not going to publish your writing, and it may hurt, but it gives you an opportunity to go back and say, how can I objectively write on this topic, and how can I do it in a way that I validate both sides? And I don't need everybody to be comfortable or like it or agree, but I don't want to offend either. And so you can accept that and go back and constructively look at something and make a change. But I wouldn't just, off of rejection, be desperate or so engaged in something or someone that I can't take their rejection and feel like I need to constantly change something about me. Because say you change your hair because this person like long hair, this one like short hair, this one like black hair, they like off brown hair. I mean, you'll forever be flip-flopping. I can't hear anybody. Is anybody on the show?
Yep. We all here.
Well, why are you so quiet, PJ?
It's probably because I've been doing a lot of talking. But, and Deidre, here's the other thing. I think everybody has to come to their own place of what you're going to decide to change. There are certain things about myself that I'm not going to change. There's certain things about myself that I am comfortable with, and there's certain things that I feel if I change them, they're going to redefine me. And with that being said, all the rejection that comes with me not changing, I accept that. So,
yeah, like people,
you know,
don't do auditions. So he understands that there's certain work he's not going to get because he don't do auditions.
Right. I don't audition. So it's a lot of jobs out here I'm not going to get.
Okay.
But my personal feeling on that, for anybody that's listening, is this. If I audition and I get the job, then I came to you and I told you I wanted the job. Most jobs that I get, people come to me, which gives me a leg up on negotiations. It gives me a leg up on, you know, the hiring, firing process and what I can demand. You know, some people say, well, man, you should do auditions because you can take a situation and turn it around. Well, I don't want to take a situation and turn it around. So there's some work that I'm never going to get, and that's fine. And I have no problem living with that. But here's what I think. I think that everybody has to be adults. Well, if you say you're an adult, you have to be an adult even when it comes to rejection. Everybody not gonna like you. Everybody not gonna like everything about you. There's some things that you can change. There's some things that you can't change. There's some things that you're not willing to do right now to change. So I think that, you know, for those who are listening, I think that, and I keep saying the same thing, we got to be adults. We got to know who we are, and we can't lie to ourselves. I think denial is just a person's way of lying to yourself. You don't grow like that. It helps the pain temporarily, but most people who are in denial, they experience the same kind of hurt. Most of the people who deny, they, especially in relationships, they keep dating the same type of person with a different name. You know, he beat you, but his name today is Jeff. He beat you, his name today is Rob. He beat you, his name next week, you know, is Steve. But if you just reject that, you know, if you reject what's happening for you to be getting hit upside your head, you never go learn.
Okay.
You're right, PJ.
You know, it's a lot of people that. What'd you say?
Go ahead, PJ.
It's a lot of people that do the insanity thing, that keep making the same mistake, that keep having the same heartache with the same issue. You know, and denying, you know, that's a temporary, that's a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. You know, denial helps you not to look at yourself. And that I think the biggest rejection of all is not somebody else rejecting you. I think the biggest or the most, the thing that we fear more than rejection is looking at ourselves and seeing that there's something wrong with us that we need to change. Because I think that, to me, that is harder than seeing something wrong with somebody else. It's easier for me to see the wrong with everybody on this show than it is for me to see it with me. And I would rather point at Heather's wrong than to look at myself and say I could be better this way.
Really?
Right.
Because, yes, really. Because it's going to hurt me to know that I've lived with myself this long and I haven't changed this and I haven't addressed this part of myself. It's easier for me to say, Heather, you should do this. Joey, you should do this. But for me to look at myself and accept that, hey, when it comes to this, you're wrong, that's hard to do. How many people you know that says, well, you know, I've been doing this wrong for this. You know, why aren't you married? Because I've just been choosing the wrong kind of men. I mean, you don't hear people talk like that. You know,
maybe
why haven't you graduated from college? Because I'm lazy. And I don't really want to do no work. I'm happy, you know, living with my mother. People are not going to say that on a regular basis. People are not that honest with themselves because it hurts. Honesty hurts. And it's better to anticipate somebody else rejecting you and move from that and be hurt by that than to have real rejection. And most people are going to hurt themselves before they allow somebody else to hurt them, which is the case in your girlfriend saying that your girlfriend or whoever it is, boyfriend, whoever, that wants this certain things from a person in the relationship. If you don't tell them, you know, then that means that you go break up with them because they're not a mind reader. That's dumb.
But not only that, because you want something that they can't give you or that they don't want to give you. And the sad part about it is instead of you, like TJ said, making a decision for you, you'll sit there and drive that person crazy or harass the hell out of them and go back and forth whining and crying, arguing and fussing, trying to get them to give you something that they clearly can't or don't want to give you. And I'm telling you what I know. Been there, done that. When you want something and a person can't give it to you, let that go. Let it go, because what you're saying to them is that I don't think enough of me to be in the place and to get what I want and what I need. I'll sacrifice what I want and what I need for somebody else. Because other folks aren't sacrificing. If you're not what I want and what I need, oh, dude's going to cut you off, boo. Don't be in pocket and don't be doing it the way he wanted done or she wanted done. You're going to get cut off. So why are you sitting there sacrificing what you want and what you need? You got to make that choice for you. And when a person sees that you don't care enough about you to do right by you, then it's out the window for me. You definitely ain't gonna look out for me because you don't look out for you.
That's a good point.
And so maybe sometimes rejection that we're getting is a mirror of what we're rejecting for ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, who have you rejected? What have you rejected? What wisdom have you turned away and said, no, thank you? Like, you know, It's so amazing. My brother-in-law said to me the other day, I mean, we're riding along in the car, and out of the blue, you know what he said to me? You ain't married because you don't want to be married. No, we're not even talking about marriage. And I'm like, why would you say that, brother? Because you don't want to. Because I know you. And I know what you can do. I know how you could be. You're not available to that. You don't want to be married. And not that I want to be married or I don't want to be married, but it's just like I kind of get what he's saying. I don't necessarily press folk out anymore. I've been through that stage in life of pressing somebody out about a relationship or trying to control and change people. And I think maybe it happened later. Maybe I didn't know, and I'm learning now. But now I know, like, you know, you have to let things happen. You have to be in a state of discovery, and you have to appreciate you. And I got to look out for me because, trust me, the other person is going to look out for them. And they're going to go after what they want and what they need. And so you have to look at yourself as an individual and say, let me go after what I want and what I need. And stop rejecting what's good for me in order to have what I think is good to me. So, Deirdre, all that's good to you? Tall, red, the rock, it might be good to you, but it might not be good for you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sitting up here and I'm thinking in my head all of the rejected short men in the world who is
that
just,
probably would have been, I'm telling you, we need to have a show about that.
They going to forever be rejected because, I ain't been delivered from that just yet. But it's funny that you said that, PJ, that you said rejection is a form of control. I remember... And now what you guys need to understand is that a lot of my guy friends tell me on a constant basis because they say Deidre is a lot and they cannot wait for the man who finally, quote unquote, puts me in my place or whatever. And so, of course, that's kind of embedded in my head. And I went out on a date. Now, mind you, this is the absolute first time that I've ever met this person. We went out and the circumstances were kind of crazy or whatever, and I ended up going to this guy's house. First time
what?
Ever meeting him. Hush, Heather. I go to his house. And so we're talking, you know, we order lunch. Everything is good.
Is during a work day because y'all ordering lunch, clearly during the day.
Heather. Look here,
I'm sorry.
So we order lunch, we're watching movies, we're talking, we're discussing, and, you know, he's starting to get a little touchy-feely. And I'm like, that's not going to happen. And then he starts, well, first of all, I need y'all to understand that he, you know, like, I can be a little smart mouth, and I can come off. You know what, I don't need your side comments. I'm talking to people out who don't know me. So I could be a little flippant. You say something smart, I'm going to say something smart back. That's just Deidre. And I'll do it in a minute. But this guy, he kept coming back and forth. You know, I'd say something smart, and he'd come and kind of check me. And I was like, yeah, that's what's up. Okay, so I'm digging him because he's authoritative, he's in control, he's a manly man. And when I tell you, I'm sitting on that couch and his hand gets to trying to roam up my leg, and he says, I know. See, what it is you don't want a relationship. You want to control somebody. You want to do all, and he just went to town, read me up one way and took me down the other. Now, mind you, I want y'all to know that I was like, okay, I'm out. Well, I take that back. I was like, you know, trying to understand how he got what he was, all the stuff he was saying. But it made me kind of step back and was like, oh, my gosh, maybe he's right. Maybe I don't want to be in a relationship. And literally, for a couple of weeks, my mind was messed up because I was like, maybe it is me. Maybe I am tripping. But come to find out, he just really wanted some butt.
That don't mean he was wrong.
That's right, PJ.
He was wrong. Because some of the stuff that he said, you know, you were saying people don't go and check themselves. And in this particular situation, I was checking myself. And everything that he was saying was him trying to manipulate me and opening up my legs so he could slide up in this thing. That's what that was about.
But that don't mean his intention was wrong. Okay.
I can have what I want, and there are some things that I need. There are some things that I need to work on. I understand that, but no, we're not just gonna accept anything just to be in a relationship. That's crazy.
No, but is it possible? And here's where our folk have a problem. Is it possible that somebody can be in the wrong and say the right thing? And now I'm addressing this to you, Deidre.
Oh Lord.
No, I just want to know.
What?
Is it possible that somebody can be in the wrong but say the right thing?
Absolutely. God can use anybody to speak a word to you, somebody to hit you upside your head so that you can see clearly now. Absolutely.
Good.
Was that the case in his situation? No, absolutely not. And I say that, and people are probably saying, you know, he probably was telling you all this kind of stuff, but here he is. He has, at the end of the day, he kind of like, well, all right, you know, well, it was nice. We're going to go ahead and end this date, you know, whatever, whatever. And I was like, okay, so we're going to have a second date because it was still pretty good. I thought we had talked it out. And he kind of fell off. And I was like, dang, you know, maybe something's wrong, you know, whatever. No big deal. I'm going to check that for the next time that I, you know, go out with someone else. I might not do some of the things that he said. I'm going to be a little bit open. But then he came right back and was like, you know, I think, you know, I carried the situation wrong, so I want to try again. No, we don't need to try again. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You go on, bruh. Find somebody else you can manipulate and take advantage of.
But you didn't think anything of what he said about you wanting to control was in any way?
No, seriously. I told you, for a couple of weeks, I was going back and forth about, you know, some of the things that he said. But it comes to a point where, I mean, in any situation that I've been in, any conflicts or whatever, the first thing that Deidre is doing is I'm looking at every angle. I'm looking at, okay, was I wrong in this situation? Okay, really, did I really have to say this? Did I really need that? Did I really whatever? And I would beat myself up. And I'm known to go back and apologize for a lot of things. But at some point, it's not just me. Because I'm not going to get into a stage where I'm constantly beating up myself because of somebody else's insecurity or because of something that they may be doing. I know I'm a good people. I know that I'm a little bit demanding, that there are some things that I'm just not going to tolerate, and I'm okay with that. Just like you said, PJ, there are some things that you're just not going to change. There are some things that Deidre's just not going to change.
Right, and the second part of that is the things that we're not going to change, we have to accept what comes with that.
What do you mean?
I just want to make sure
single
we don't
might come
that
with that.
Huh? What'd
you say? I said a single might come with that.
Right, and if single comes with you not changing who you are, then that's what you have to accept. You know,
right.
me
okay.
never being
right.
a rich man comes with me not doing an audition, then I have to accept that.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's what you want to accept. We have a caller, and we're gathering their name right now. I'm excited because they probably got something to tell me or tell me how I'm crazy, but it's okay. Anybody else out there who want to tell me I'm crazy, and I know you're listening because I got a couple of texts just now. That number is 760-683-2662. We're getting close to the end of the show, so if you got something to say, this might be the time for you to say something or you're going to get rejected.
Right. DJ Heather, can y'all text people back the number so they can call us?
Oh. Okay. So we have Roland from D.C. Roland,
yes.
What's your comment or question?
Well, I had a comment for Deidre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I had a couple of other comments for Heather. I happen to know Heather personally.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a thing. My whole comment is for Deidre, you know, if you choose to be single, that's on you. But by your attitude, it seems that you're a little intimidated by a strong man. So
really?
It seems to me, just listening to you, it seems like you were a little intimidated by your date. So he eliminated you because you were a little scared and, you know, it was all right. Those things
Hold up, Slim. Then why, if he eliminated me, then why did he come back?
Well, he came back for the challenge. He didn't come back for you. He came back just for the challenge. It wasn't about you. It was about It was about the verbal. It was really probably wasn't about you. He just wanted to play some more.
Oh, well, he was rejected, so he didn't get to play no more.
Well, hi, Heather. How are you?
I'm good.
Been listening to you.
Thank you for calling
What's
in. Do you have another question? Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I don't have a question. My comment, you know, me and you, you know, we go way back, so I don't want to put you out there. I just want to say that the comment that he made about, you know, living with your mother, I don't think that was, you know, you live with your mother because you love your mother, and you may not be ready for a relationship right now, but that's your choice.
Thank you.
That's your choice, and I respect that choice, and I'm pretty sure, but I want to answer to that question I text you about.
Who was the guy I was talking about?
Yeah, who was that? Does he have a name?
He does.
What's his name?
Yeah, what's his name?
This will open up a whole lot of cans of worms. Let them worms go, baby.
Who's on the switchboard tonight?
Let the worms go, Heather. It's all right.
I cannot breathe. This is not appropriate.
Why?
You're in
it's
a strange place, Heather.
This is what you asked for. You want the truth.
Let me say this.
Now, you're talking to me. That might be me. Is it me?
No, sir.
Is it me?
Well, I'm relieved that it's now. I'm relieved. Because I never wanted to cause you so much pain. But I was
yes, this is being taped, right?
Oh, man.
We're
not talking no more. I can't hear nobody.
No, I'm here.
I'm here, loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
I just said that this isn't the time or the place, and I know that you
never
intended to hurt me, and I know how much you care, and I appreciate you.
Oh, I know you appreciate me, Heather. Come on now. Come on now.
Okay.
I know you appreciate me.
Okay. Can we now have this conversation on...
Okay, well we're gonna do lunch sometime next week, and then we can have that conversation.
Yeah, we are gonna do lunch sometime next week.
I feel slighted.
Just let me know when and where.
No, we have to do this by ourselves. What's your name, sir?
My name is TJ Morgan, and I'm loving this conversation.
TJ Morgan.
Now.
Oh, TJ Morgan, I've been listening to you for a couple of weeks now. You all right, but I know you have outside agenda. And I'm going to invite you to one of these parties I go to. I got a couple of friends that would love to meet you.
Oh. He said you done got outside agenda. Wow.
You all right. I respect T.J. Morgan because he likes to talk, and I got a whole new crowd that you can meet.
Wow.
Who is on the switchboard?
Yeah.
I am telling y'all right now. Let me be very clear. This is going in a whole other direction, and it might be
let's talk about rejection. Okay, let's talk about rejection.
Let's
talk about that.
We have another caller on the line.
Okay.
Thank you for your comment and your statement.
Okay, Deidre. Yeah. Okay, Deidre.
Oh my God.
And we gonna shut that down.
Oh, my God.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to call in at 760-683-2662? Heather, I'm going to need you to get your people under control. Because clearly you don't have it together.
I'm right, Mayor.
As we're winding down, I really need you guys to call back next week because we're going to touch on, you know, tonight we talked about, you know, people not liking themselves, you know, so they're rejecting certain things because of color. So next week we're going to be talking about the paper bag test.
Oh, God,
We're going to talk about light skin and dark skin and why people feel one is better than the other and what are the deep-rooted issues and all of those little things. So next week we really, really, really want you to call in and let's discuss this. I had an interesting conversation with someone on last week and it floored me because I didn't realize that was one of their struggles growing up. I'm not gonna do that. They won't call in, they can call in. But I was kinda floored, so I'm excited about the conversation next week. You can call in. We still got a couple of minutes left to talk about rejection. That number is 760-683-2662.
I do have a comment.
Go ahead.
PJ? Where's PJ?
Hello?
PJ?
Right. Yes?
PJ?
I am right here, yes.
I need you to run the switchboard moving forward. PJ loves me. I need him on the switchboard.
Heather, you didn't hear him saying he wanted it to be kept going.
PJ wanted it to keep going?
Yes. What are you talking about?
I thought that was Jeff.
No, that was
Heather.
Me.
Heather, for the first time, I have been, this for the first time ever, I've been on your side. I didn't want your people to talk. Ever.
My people? Why are we calling them my people?
He said he's been knowing you for a while, and he said he didn't mean to hurt you, so he knows you well.
No, he did not hurt me. Let's be very clear. I met this is terrible that this has even happened on national radio. I swear to you it is. I had a friend that I had been friends with for several years that we had just been really good friends. We didn't date. And he introduced me to the gentleman who called in. And he and I went out a few times and we did start dating. And it was his feeling that his friend that introduced us was far more interested in me and I was more interested in him, and that it was sort of a mistake for me to even date him and for his friend to have introduced him. After that, his friend that introduced us and myself, we ended up being in a relationship for about 7 years after that. So there's a bit of tension and mixed emotions in that situation. So it's sort of like, you know, feeling used as a bridge and not necessarily the choice.
All right. That makes sense.
Well,
yeah, it does.
He can't be calling up here with, you know, trying to start stuff now.
You know, I don't think it's a starting thing, but I think sometimes when you're talking about something that's near and dear, like rejection, I think for both of us, we, in different places and in different ways, have rejected each other. And that's just the way it is.
Well,
but
go ahead.
No, I said, but I've learned from that experience, and, you know, that's another place where I've learned that pacifying or sufficing for what is and not for what you really want or need is not good.
Exactly.
Well, we are closing down. Next week, join us where we'll be talking about the paper bag test, the whole light skin, dark skin conversation. A number where you can call in is 760-683-2662. You can also listen to us at blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. I do want to say this. We all laugh and we joke and, you know, we are amongst friends and we are conversating.
Conversing.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Correct me. But we don't want to use this for a platform for you to air your laundry with one of our castmates. If there is something that you are harboring, it might be something you want to have offline. It's all fun and games, so it's no longer fun and games.
Oh.
So, quickly, y'all go around. Any last comments that you have about rejection?
Rejection, we hope after today's conversation, is a tool for learning and improving on who you are and, you know, what you believe yourself to be.
Joey? Heather?
No, I think that, you know, I agree with what PJ said, that it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity for some introspection of oneself, but it's not something that you should internalize and take to heart, but you should definitely take it as a challenge for the next steps, for what comes next for you. Let that be your challenge for what is next or what is to come. So that's how I see it. And I appreciate your PSA announcement.
All right. Again, we appreciate you calling and sharing in with us tonight, and we will see you next week.
For me, I won't say across the board.
And I think we need to get back to the
stage.
Wow.
Amongst Friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Wow.